Good afternoon, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com. I hope you're all well. Normally on weekends, whether it be Saturday, Sunday, whatever it might be, we have what we used to call our Saturday or Sunday conversation. We've since begun calling them simulcasts because they're broadcast on multiple platforms at once. But there will be no conversation today. It will just be me. I have finally done it. I have finally pushed my coworkers to the point that they won't even talk to me on our Sunday conversation videos. So it is just me today talking to you. This is more of a monologue than a conversation. But in all seriousness, we figured that we were just going to talk about men's basketball recruiting anyway this week. So it would be better, I guess, for us to just cut out the middlemen and just have me talk about it for however long I can talk about it. I will take that as a challenge and hopefully not talk the entirety of your day. I have to excuse the background noise here. Sunday in the neighborhood is a big lawn care day, as I'd imagine it is in a lot of neighborhoods on Sunday afternoons this time of year. Not much I can do about it, but we will get through this here. So I was just going to talk about, obviously, once again, Purdue's basketball recruiting efforts right now as part of our, or as the crux of our weekly GoldenBlack.com simulcast. It is brought to you once again by our friends at the Purdue Union Club Hotel. The Union Club Hotel at Purdue is a travel and leisure world's best hotel nominee. Voting is open, so visit PurdueUnionClubHotel.com for more details and to show your Purdue pride. Nobody does a more sincere live read than this guy right here. I will also remind you that football season is going to be hopefully relatively normal next season. If you're planning trips to campus or whatever it might be, you're going to want to check out the Purdue Union Club Hotel. They're pretty awesome. I spent my weekend or my Friday night, the entirety of my Saturday at the Bill Hensley Memorial Run and Slam up in Fort Wayne, one of the premier events of the spring of the entirety of the grassroots season. Glad it was back after last year's hiatus for fairly obvious reasons. So the timing here for this men's basketball recruiting subject matter is pretty good. Before we get started, I want to thank the group that made it all possible for me to have attended that event, and that is Pfizer, because I got my second vaccine shot on Thursday, and I figured 36 hours in Fort Wayne, most of which is spent on my feet, covering 15 basketball games in, I think, 24 hours, which you can do the math on how many basketball games on average that is per hour. I figured that if there were side effects, things were going to get nuts. No side effects, not a single side effect. So I have to thank the good people at Pfizer. This was by far the most pleasant vaccination experience of all of the global health crises I've lived through by a mile. No side effects whatsoever. So big thank you to Pfizer. You probably are getting tired of me just rambling here, so I'm going to start talking about Purdue basketball recruiting. Once again, this is our subject matter for this week for our goldenblack.com Sunday conversation / weekend simulcast. What we call it something different every week, so just go with it. So men's basketball recruiting. Purdue is looking for players, as they are every year at this time. The 2022 class is a big one. It will be a big one. Right now on paper, I think they have 4 scholarships. Maybe that's 5. I don't know. But I would anticipate them going to lengths to go to 5 in this class because I think when a class is this big, you need a little bit of everything. I think Purdue has some credible reason to believe that there's some possibility of losing someone early to the NBA at some point. I don't need to name names. You can probably figure it out. But I think there's also more than one of them too. So also the transfer era being what it is, I think every coach in college basketball would be in dereliction of their duties if they didn't, you know, protect themselves against the reality of players leaving every year. And players leaving every year, that's not even always going to be a thing where that player is a malcontent or anything like that. It might just simply be pragmatism. It might just simply be any number of things can go into this. It's not going to be the same acrimonious type of thing that transfers historically have been perceived as. And here come the spinning blades again. I would anticipate Purdue pushing this class to 5, even if they don't have technically 5 scholarships. Back in the past, we would call that oversigning. I think nowadays we would call that Tuesday because I think that's going to be the new MO for college basketball coaches everywhere because of the changing landscape of college basketball recruiting, college football recruiting, softball recruiting, track and field recruiting, everybody's recruiting. Now the transfers, I shouldn't have thrown in those other sports. I don't know the landscape in recruiting as well as I do football and basketball. So I don't know if it's going to affect them as much as it is basketball and football, but I think basketball and football alike are going to have to, everyone's going to have to change their behavior in this new landscape. So I would anticipate Purdue going at least five scholarships in this class. Two of them are already occupied. Purdue has earned early commitments from Fletcher Lawyer, the sharp shooting guard from Fort Wayne Homestead, who came up in Michigan before his family moved to Fort Wayne, and most recently Braden Smith from Westfield. That is a shooting guard, and that is a point guard. And Fletcher Lawyer is a shooting guard in every sense of the term, because I think he's an elite jump shooter. He's an extremely skilled offensive player. He's clever. I like to joke that he's an honorary European because he's so clever offensively, and just a fun player to watch. A lot of things going for him offensively that I think are going to make Purdue a better offensive team from day one. What kind of early impact he's going to be able to have when he gets to Purdue, it's probably too early to predict, but I think anytime you add an elite shooter who knows how to play basketball, has a high basketball IQ, is a good passer, all of those things, and will be an excellent teammate, I think. I think that he stands a very good chance to make Purdue a better team right away. I think that, you know, there will be some challenges defensively. He's going to have to get stronger over time, things like that. But I think he's a big-time jump shooter, a big-time offensive player, and a versatile player. I think that he's a player offensively who can play point guard for you. Now, I don't know if he can – he's ideally suited to defend point guards, especially at Purdue, given what they ask of their point guards in terms of the full court pressure and all of that stuff. But I think he can definitely be a guy who initiates offense for you with the ball in his hands. And I think he's a guy that, like the Dakota Mathiases and the Ryan Kleins and the Etuan Moores, players like that, I think he's the sort of guy where he might not always be the point guard per se, but I think when the ball's in his hands, the ball is in good hands, shall we say. Braden Smith, obviously, is the consummate true point guard, I think. And, you know, Purdue hasn't had many of those over the years. Lately, Purdue has played some non-conventional point guards. They've played a lot of combo guards there over the years. A few years ago, they damn near went to the Final Four with a power forward playing point guard. Because they got point guard stuff everywhere else, from an offensive perspective at least. And then I don't know why I've gotten off talking about Nojel Eastern here in this basketball recruiting thing, but what Nojel Eastern provided you was offensive rebounding and elite defense, and they were able to cobble together all the other things you expect from a point guard elsewhere, taking care of the basketball, making good decisions, shooting, things like that. Purdue hasn't always had that true point guard. I'd consider it maybe a Lewis Jackson comes to mind. Who am I forgetting? That might be the only one, to be honest with you. I guess Ronnie Johnson for his brief tenure at Purdue. But by and large, they've had a lot of combo guards, Keaton Grant, guys like that. Eric Hunter currently, players like that who have been their point guards. Braden Smith is the consummate point guard. He is a pass-first guy. He's an excellent passer, a guy who really, from what I saw this weekend up in Fort Wayne, one of the things he does really well is when he's setting up shooters, they get the ball right here. They get the ball. If you're listening on a podcast, I'm holding my hands up in front of my chest. He hits you right here in the hands, right where you want it when you're setting up to take a three-pointer, the shooting pocket, as they call it. And that is a really important element for a passer. I think Purdue is assembling a really nice group of passers here. And I think for as much attention as shooting gets, rightfully so, I think a huge component, obviously, of shooting success is passing success. And when you have Braden Smith and Ethan Morton and, to a lesser extent, Brian Waddell, a guy who's going to play off the ball some ultimately, and a couple of big men who can really pass the ball, I think you're working toward having a roster here that can really move the basketball, that can really generate the right shots, and then, make the easier part, you know, actually making the shot. That wasn't all that easy for Purdue this past season, but it projects to become easier over time, I think, because they're going to have a nice little stockpile of shooters too. The other part about Braden Smith is he's just a really he's really well suited to be the consummate facilitator type. Again, he's a pass first guy with a good basketball IQ, plays fast, really pushes the ball up the floor, really kind of anticipates things. I think if he gets in trouble sometimes, I think maybe he has the consummate Matt Painter predetermined thought. I've heard that spiel from Painter probably 200 times in my life, where he talks about playing free on offense and things like that and not determining in advance what you're going to do, and thus having the ability to deviate from your plan when you have to. And I think sometimes maybe he drives the lane knowing here's the guy I want to pass to. If it's not there, you know, sometimes maybe he gets in a little bit of trouble. Sometimes in traffic around, you know, taller, longer players, you know, perhaps he can get a little bit bogged down. But I think he's an excellent ball mover. He's an excellent facilitator. He's an aggressive offensive player who will bring an attitude to Purdue's offense, especially in a full court offensive perspective, which I think is really important because, you know, Purdue is trying to play a little bit faster here, especially in its backcourt, to where you don't have to execute in the half court perfectly, you know, to be a good offensive team. You want to steal, you know, 6, 8, 10 points a game in transition if you can, and aggressive guard play, you know, will get you there. And that's especially important to move toward now with, I think, there potentially being a shelf life, obviously, on Jaden Ivey's college career, because right now he's that guy who's, you know, that consummate attacking guard who's going to bring the 2-for-1 back to Purdue next year, I'd have to think, you know, things like that. Smith plays with that sort of attitude. He doesn't have the physical upside as a lot of guys. You know, he's not the biggest guy. He's not the quickest guy. He's fast, but I think he plays faster than he actually is fast, if that makes sense. But I also think the really, really valuable part of Braden Smith here is, A, I think he's a great culture guy. I think he's going to be one of those, I'm trying not to devolve into tropes here, but he's one of those really hardworking guys who takes basketball really seriously, who really puts a lot of time and effort into it. And I think he's incredibly tough and he's incredibly tenacious. I know people love comparisons, and I know comparing players to a combination of past players is biologically impossible. But I see this guy as kind of a cross between PJ Thompson and Chris Kramer. He does – I'm trying not to devolve into the standard tropes that tend to come with one's ethnicity or race or whatever. But anyway, he plays like Chris Kramer. He plays with that sort of abandon. He plays with that sort of will, I think. But also, I think he's that kind of stable, sort of reliable guard PJ Thompson is, or was, you know, whether he can be the same level of knockdown shooter, the same level of decision-making, decision-maker, I think we will see over time. But I think that's kind of the prototype for him, is that sort of point guard role, more than the traditional, you know, Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo type of point guard role. But offensively, he reminds me of a PJ Thompson. Defensively, I think he's going to have some things to overcome. But he plays like Chris Kramer. He really does. And it's a different animal at Purdue being the point guard, because they ask you to pressure the ball 94 feet. I think he's a guy whose tenaciousness, you know, makes him a candidate to, you know, maybe even be better defending off the ball than on the ball. But I think his tenacity also will be helpful on the ball, because obviously tenacity helps when you're guarding on the ball. But I think he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to work to improve his quickness, his lateral movement a little bit, to be able to do some of that stuff that, you know, Purdue historically has wanted from a defensive perspective at the point guard position. So that's what I got on Fletcher Loyer and Braden Smith, Purdue's first two commitments. What now? Purdue's targets from here on out are many. You know, again, this is going to be a huge class, so Purdue's going to have to recruit a pretty robust field from coast to coast to be able to fill, you know, two or three more scholarships, probably three. I'll highlight four of those guys right now because I think they are the four most pertinent to Purdue's recruiting board. I don't want to say they're the top four targets because, A, there's a lot of targets, and B, I think it's only, It's May 2nd. So there's a lot of time here for Purdue to go out on the road in June and July, which is actually going to happen. See players. There's a lot of openness here, too, with Paul Lusk and Terry Johnson joining the staff for them to bring players they might have knowledge of or connections to add their Purdue's recruiting board as well. So saying anyone is the top priority at this point, or these guys are the top priorities at this point, is a little bit, it's a little bit early to be saying that, but these four guys are obvious priorities and guys Purdue will recruit to the bitter end. Jalen Washington is the first one. The Gary Westside forward, who's been generally rated as a top 30 player nationally. I saw him play several times this past weekend, and I have to say that he was incredible. He was, prior to this, you know, he missed so much time early in his high school career due to injuries. He had a shoulder injury as a freshman. He had a knee injury as a sophomore. He missed a ton of time. But when people saw him, they saw a 6'9", long, athletic dude with a skill level where he could shoot the ball from the perimeter. He looked good doing it, and people just saw that package and ranked him in the top 30 nationally before he'd really done a whole lot. It's kind of the flaw in the ranking system, is the promise gets ranked before the productivity catches up. And I think prior to this spring, or prior to his junior year, I should say, he just had a really good junior year at Gary Westside. Prior to this year, I think it was all promise and not enough productivity because he didn't have a chance to produce because he was always hurt those first 2 years. But I think that those two things are now meeting. I think, when I saw Washington play back at the Forum Tip-Off Classic in Southport, back whenever that was, back in the winter, right at the start of the basketball season, November, I guess it was. No, December. It was in December. He played really well. He had like 19 points. He made like 5 threes, but that was kind of all he did, was he made a bunch of threes. He looked damn good doing it. And anytime you have a 6'9 dude who makes threes like that, that's a really valuable deal. But he didn't do a whole lot around the basket. You know, you want the best player on the floor, the best athlete on the floor, the tallest guy, the longest guy on the floor, and the top 25 player nationally, to block shots, to rebound, to score at the rim. And he didn't do a lot of that stuff. Maybe that was part of the process of him coming back to the knee injury. Maybe that was matchup related, given his success shooting from the perimeter. I don't know. I saw him again in semi-state against Carmel. That was a quagmire of a game that nobody really played particularly well in because it was so low scoring and so ugly. But he didn't. He finished, I think, with maybe one or two field goals tops. So I kind of wondered where he was going to be, coming into the spring. But the Jalen Washington I saw this past weekend was unlike anything I'd even remotely seen prior to this spring. He was incredible. He dominated on the interior. His Mean Streets team really worked to get him the ball on the block. And he really, really looked good scoring with his back to the basket, scoring one-on-one on the interior, a variety of post moves, really soft touch around the basket, but also made jump shots, made mid-range jump shots, made three-pointers, faced the basket and drove, just kind of did everything. Now, he's a skinny, skinnier sort of guy, so he probably projects sort of as that perimeter forward type. He could play as an undersized perimeter center, I think, but he's really good. And I think that, you know, Purdue has a really good shot there as of right now. I think, you know, the great unknown here is, if he keeps playing like this, who all jumps in here that hasn't really had a chance to see him yet, and how can they complicate things? But as of right now, you know, I think he's so comfortable with Purdue, and Purdue is so close to home, and, you know, he really is an academic-minded player. When he first really started speaking glowingly about Purdue back in the during the pandemic, he was really impressed by a separate meeting he did with them where he talked to people from, I believe it was the Krannert School for Business. I think that was the major. I'll have to go back and look. But this is a guy who sought out academic resources and academic perspective from Purdue and was really impressed by it. And I think he has a great relationship with Brandon Brantley. I think he's been to Purdue a bunch of times prior to the world stopping, and I think that's going to really matter. I think Purdue's just in a really good spot there. I think there's a long way to go. My monitor just went to sleep here, so I even put my computer to sleep when I talk. How about that? Oh, God, this better not have stopped. It didn't. It didn't stop. Excellent. I think he's going to have Purdue's going to have an excellent shot at him. The world might come after him once they get to see him in June and July in person. But I think the bond Purdue has there is a pretty strong one. I think he has good people around him. I think his high school coach is a really good man who has the players' best interests in mind. He has good coaches around him. He has a good family, as I understand it. And I think Purdue's going to have going to have an opportunity there to get a really good player. Will Shaver is another one. He's a center from Alabama, a really skilled guy who can do a lot of different things, can shoot from the perimeter, really moves well. I haven't seen him play yet. I know he's got kind of a national list. I'll see him at the end of May. I know he's got a really wide-ranging list of opportunities to pursue, but Purdue has been kind of a sneaky contender in there. And I think maybe, I don't even know what the word sleeper means anymore, but maybe a sleeper in that picture. I know that he's going to be in Westfield for an Under Armour event at the end of May, and I know he's been planning to either come up for a self-guided tour. Things are different now because things open up June 1st, and if he's in Westfield, maybe if he wants to spend an extra night in Indiana, he can actually make a meaningful visit to Purdue. As long as he's willing to wait to June 1st. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'd expect Purdue to have him on their campus at some point, either at the end of May or the start of June. A big difference between the end of May and the start of June now, because the dead period lifts on June 1st, and thus coaches can actually speak in person to players. What a novel world it will be when coaches are signing players that they have met in person. That will be a really monumentous occasion as we get through this damn pandemic. From a college basketball perspective. But Will Shaver is a guy who's going to be a national recruit who I think Purdue has a puncher's chance to get. Probably not is in as good a spot as they are with Jalen Washington because they have such background with Washington, such familiarity with him. But, Shaver's not have a chance to visit anywhere. So everybody's kind of starting from scratch here for the most part. So definitely one to watch there. Seth Trimble is a guard from Wisconsin, who Menominee Falls, I think it's pronounced. I don't know. Anyway, Purdue's going to keep. Purdue has two guards committed already, but they're going to keep recruiting Seth Trimble. I mean, he's technically a point guard. You have a point guard in this class already, but I do think, when you look at roster construction, when you look at Braden Smith being your point guard, Fletcher Lawyer being your two guard, you've just added Brian Waddell as a redshirt kind of wing, kind of guard forward. The one thing you kind of need here is some athleticism, some quickness, some physical gifts, because you're also trying to build a mix that doesn't get too out of whack one way or the other. I've never seen Seth Trimble play either. I'm going to have to go out of my way this summer, go to a tournament somewhere just to see him, which I will do when I can. But he's going to be a major Purdue priority from here on out. I think Paul Lusk started recruiting him for Creighton. They really like him, and he's going to be an A-list priority, I think, for Purdue from here on out. Camden Heidi, obviously, is a guy whose name you've probably heard, who obviously remains a priority for Purdue. Another player they, I think, sit in great shape with. He's got family ties to Lafayette and West Lafayette and all that stuff, and I think there's a lot of natural inclination toward Purdue there, but I think there's also a lot of basketball attraction there. And, Ben Johnson at Minnesota is going to have a chance to recruit him now. I know Purdue is in a great spot, though. They have been for quite some time. There was some quiet optimism or some quiet belief, I guess, in the recruiting industry. I don't know if this was ever based in reality or not, but there was some quiet belief that he might pop for Purdue very early last spring. That didn't happen. I wonder about this spring or summer if Purdue can't push him over the edge, get him on board, and that would be number three. And then you'd have to, you would have to really hone in on those bigs and hone in on Seth Trimble. And if you can't get Seth Trimble, could probably go find another guard of some kind. But Camden Heidi is kind of like a combo forward type. I've always figured he'd be a small four, not a small forward, a small four. I understand how that can be confusing. I always figured he'd be a small four at the next level, could probably play some three. A lot's going to depend on what Caleb First and Trey Kaufman-Wren show you here when they get to campus in terms of what their long-term outlooks are. Matt Painter is going to make every effort to play those guys where he said he'd give them a chance to play. And my sneaking suspicion for this season is, and if I were a Purdue partisan, it might be my sneaking fear, is that sometimes he will go out of his way to live up to his promises when it might not be necessarily the best thing for his team. But that is the way he recruits. He tells players how it's going to be, and then he makes every effort to make it so. So you will see Trey Kaufman-Wren get an opportunity to play at the three. You will see Caleb First get an opportunity to play primarily at the four. Even though myself, I've seen Caleb First play probably 30 times, 30, 35, 40, 50, 100, 200, 300 times. I'm only kind of kidding there. I've seen Trey Kaufman-Wren play not as much, but quite a bit. And I think that First's best matchups will come at the five, and Kaufman-Wren's best matchups will come at the four. Now, that being said, you have a lot of players at those positions, and you have to make the pieces fit somewhere. Not a lot of minutes to go around, probably at the five right away, but I think that, you know, Matt Painter will make every effort to make all of this make sense one way or another. This is a good problem to have, having too many really good players. That is the best kind of problem to have. Looking at what Purdue needs in this class, obviously, you need a point guard. You know, Eric Hunter is not going to come back for an extra year, as has already been decided. You can't really categorize Ethan Morton as a proven player yet until he's had a chance to do anything. I think he will prove himself this year. I think he'll get every opportunity to. I think that's a big part of the reason that Purdue isn't running around like everybody else in the country chasing transfers, is because there's never any guarantee that that player is going to help make you better now. But there's always that probability that throwing a player in on top of your developing players can stunt their growth. And I think a big part of this season for Purdue is developing Ethan Morton, developing Brandon Newman a little bit more, obviously developing Jaden Ivey to even another level. I said to somebody yesterday that, you know, Purdue has a returning honorable mention All-American coming back next year, most likely, provided Trevon Williams comes back from the NBA process. And I'm not even sure he'd be Purdue's leading candidate on the Big Ten Player of the Year board in the preseason, because I think Jaden Ivey can be that good. I think you really want to make sure your players are developing, and throwing a transfer in on top of them, I think, can stunt their growth sometimes. So I don't know how I got off on this tangent here, but I just did. But in terms of needs, you know, I know it doesn't look like Purdue needs a center right now, because you have Trevon Williams. He's irrelevant, provided he comes back. He's irrelevant to recruiting, because he won't be back after this year, almost certainly. Zach Edey will have more than 1 year left at Purdue after this season. Caleb First can play center, obviously. He has his whole career in front of him. Problem you have there is that good problem again. It's that these guys are really good. And, you know, the possibility always exists that Zach Edey's shelf life could materialize at the college level, could materialize as something less than the standard 4 years. Caleb First, you never know. He's really good too. I think you have to keep making sure that that position is stocked. Same for forward. You have a lot of really good forwards, but you're not going to turn down a Jalen Washington just because you have the two guys you signed last year, because you have to, these guys, Purdue's recruiting at a level right now where you might not have all of these guys the entirety of your career. You don't necessarily plan on that, but again, coaches will be in dereliction of their duties from a roster management perspective if they're not preparing for the possibility. So Purdue's going to be recruiting centers all the time, even if they have a couple of good ones already. So that's kind of where Purdue is right now in terms of recruiting. I think quickness, you know, somewhere, somehow, you have to get some quickness on this roster. Again, you're not going to have Jaden Ivey potentially, you know, the entirety of his career. You have to replace that physical element. You have to replace that scoring ability, I think. Carson Edwards and Jaden Ivey don't grow on trees. You just don't go to Walmart and get one. or wherever you shop, Target, Meijer, whatever it might be. You don't just go get a Carson Edwards or Jaden Ivey. It's not that simple. But the importance of it, I think, has really come to light here lately. Because when you look at how much better Carson Edwards made Purdue offensively when they had great big men and they had great shooters, hit that his ability to make plays and balance those two worlds out, I thought really mattered. When you look at this year with Jaden Ivey and when you project to what he might mean for this year's team, I think it's the same deal. You have really, really effective low post scoring options, but you also have some good perimeter shooters. And I think Jaden Ivey is, you know, to quote Lebowski, kind of going to be the rug that brings the whole room together from an offensive perspective. And I think you have to have a guy like that on your team at all times now if you're Purdue. Again, easier said than done. You can't just go get pros whenever you want them. Some schools can, but Purdue doesn't play the game the way a lot of them do. But even if the players you get aren't as good as a Carson Edwards or Jaden Ivey, I think you have to have guys who at least bring that element. You have to have quickness. You have to have speed. You have to have some playmaking ability offensively. And I think that's got to be a priority, too, for Purdue from here on out in this class. I'm not necessarily saying this is a long-term issue. I'm saying it's a now issue. I think it's something they have to be very, very highly aware of and really make a priority. If that player is Seth Trimble and you can get him, great. If that player is not Seth Trimble, or if you can't get Seth Trimble, I think you need to go look for somebody else. I think that that is just a really important need for Purdue right now. That is my opinion. I can't speak for Purdue in that sense, but that is my opinion, and I'm guessing that they probably feel the same way. So I have talked for a long time about this now, so I'm going to go ahead and let you enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. I'm going to let you go grill your hot dogs or mow your lawn or watch baseball games, watch all my fantasy players stink today. So this has been your goldenblack.com Sunday simulcast. So I really appreciate everybody listening. Normally there are three little heads on here talking. Today it was just me. This couldn't have been as captivating as, the more conversational flow of the other ones, because I know how monotonous and boring I can get and all that stuff. But I do hope you found value in this, and I do hope you had an excellent weekend and have a great week ahead. And thank you once again to our friends at the Purdue Union Club Hotel. Please keep them in mind for all of your accommodations for your trips to campus. The world is opening back up. Life is coming back to normal, slowly but surely. My vaccine is swimming through my veins as we speak, or wherever the vaccine actually goes. Very excited about this. The world is coming back. So everybody, start planning your trips. Start planning your football Saturdays, trips to Purdue. Hopefully those will be normal again. And if you do that, please keep the Purdue Union Club Hotel in mind. It is awesome from everything I understand. So thank you so much, everybody. Take care, and we will talk to you again next weekend.